read to us, and then Steve is going to preach to us. Let me just pray for you both as we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for God's word, and we pray that as Caroline reads to us, it would take root in our hearts. And I just pray for Steve when he preaches to us in a moment, that he would, you would, through your Holy Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, just open our hearts and minds to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So this evening's reading comes from John chapter 16, page 1084 on the Church Bibles, starting at verse 7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Thanks. Thanks, Caroline. Are we all sitting comfortably? I was talking to someone the other day, didn't tell them that I was preaching, and I was talking to them about the Holy Spirit, and they just didn't get it. And I wonder if actually there's quite a lot, the starting point when we're discussing about the Holy Spirit today, in the lead up to Pentecost in 2 or 3 weeks' time, when the Holy Spirit comes, and that's what this passage is about, is Jesus is explaining and telling that the Holy Spirit is going to come on the disciples in a few weeks' time. But actually, for this person, I had to explain about God in the first place, because there's a lot of people we meet in a world who don't even understand about God, let alone as then starting to discuss things about the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we believe there's one God, but in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's God the Holy Spirit that draws us closer to God, helps us with our prayer life and our understanding, and is our helper and our comforter. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. Who is the Holy Spirit? Maybe it might be relatively easy for you and me if I was to put up some pictures about God. God the Father, big God in heaven, big beard looking down on everybody, you can say, oh, I can get that. See what he looks like. When I talk about God the Son, talk about Jesus, he's walking around in his nightie and his beard as well, and we can get to know him as a person, we can learn to get that image in our mind. Sorry, I was being a bit irreverent, but I'm doing it for a point. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, what do we think of? What image do we have in our mind of what the Holy Spirit might look like? You might think of it perhaps as a dove. When Jesus' baptism, you've got God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit comes in a dove. Or maybe flames of fire, and we'll see this in a few weeks' time when the Holy Spirit comes and flames are on the disciples. But it's quite difficult, isn't it, to understand what that looks like. So I want to look at three things tonight, and a very good sermon for you to remember is in three P points tonight. I'm going to look at the Holy Spirit as a person. I'm going to talk to us a little bit about what this passage has to say about the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about his presence in our life and what that's like. Okay? Are you with me so far? So when we think about the person of the Holy Spirit, we perhaps have this concept, I wonder, if we have been maybe distracted by thinking about it as some force, like Star Wars. May the force be with you. The force is strong in that one. That's my best Darth Vader impression. But also our language, I think, as a church, isn't always very helpful in our understanding. When we talk about the Holy Ghost, some of the old language we have, perhaps so it makes it sound a little bit creepy, a little bit eerie, a little bit kind of odd. Perhaps even a bit scary. And something about that kind of supernatural, strange things, or some kind of big emotional experience of the Holy Spirit. And we hear talk about speaking in tongues or falling over or different languages. It all gets a little bit, whoa, I'm not sure about that. And I think also sometimes the reading of Scripture that we have doesn't help our understanding either. When we think about in Genesis, it says that God breathed to bring physical life to man in Genesis 2, verse 7. So he breathed. The word is ruha, like spirit, breath. And in the New Testament, when Jesus gives spiritual life to his disciples, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. So all seem to describe or kind of think about this as some kind of impersonal sort of language that we use, which doesn't, I think, help our understanding. But I'd like to say that the Bible actually speaks really clearly that the Holy Spirit is not an essence or a force. He's actually a person. He's not a someone. He's not a something. He's a someone. He is God. And there are some passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that talks about him as being intelligent and having an intellect. No one knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God who searches all things. He has feelings. Just like when someone does something that causes you sadness or grief, we see the Holy Spirit having similar emotions as well when we hurt or reject him. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Or again, in 1 Corinthians, he has a will. The Apostle Paul describes the Holy Spirit as someone who wills or determines how he distributes certain spiritual gifts on the church, and we'll hear about that next week. As we mentioned, he's the third person of the Trinity. The apostles commands us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? He's a person with intellect and feelings, the third person of the Trinity. So that's our starting point tonight, that we're dealing with a person. We're talking about God as a person. So how does our passage help us with our understanding about that today? In verse 7, it says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good, Jesus says, that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So what Jesus seems to be indicating is that these disciples need something, that they depend on something for their life. And it's better for Jesus to go for their life without him. That must have been really hard for them to hear that. Because they'd been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd have sat at his feet. They'd have been listening to his words. But I wonder if you've ever read some of the passages or listened to them. Because have you ever noticed that when we read the Gospels, that when Jesus has finished the Sermon on the Mount or a parable or some of his teachings, the disciples often don't get it. They feel perplexed, or they just ask him another question. Can you explain that to us? But when we hear about Pentecost, and we hear it in a few weeks' time, that when the Spirit comes to live with them and be in them, they speak boldly with clarity. Scripture comes alive for them. They understand. They speak about who Jesus is. And it's the Spirit, God's Spirit inside them, that is revealing that to them, to draw them closer to God, to help with their understanding. So that is who the Holy Spirit is. It's God dwelling in the disciples and God dwelling in us. Let's just stop and think about that for a minute. That it's the power of in our Christian life is the Holy Spirit. To imagine that you and me have the eternal God dwelling inside us. That should be amazing. You're all struck now. It was to their advantage and to ours that Jesus went, because he left the advocate. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Now, advocate is quite an old-fashioned word. It's not one that we use very often. But advocate has a range of meanings. It means someone who comes alongside, perhaps a helper, a comforter, a companion, someone who strengthens, someone who encourages. And I don't know about you, but those are words. Those are expressions of who the Holy Spirit is that I want to get really excited about. Isn't that a much better understanding about who the Holy Spirit is? Because sometimes we get so caught up in a big experience of what the Holy Spirit might look like. But of the Holy Spirit as comforter and encourager. So the Holy Spirit is a person with intellect and feelings and a will, the third person of the Trinity. Our passage explains to us that we need him in our lives, because it helps to reveal and understand something about God. He's our advocate, our comforter, our encourager. So the last P is about the Holy Spirit as presence. And who is the Holy Spirit to me? It's God living and working in me. Therefore, we shouldn't be surprised when the Holy Spirit displays his power in our life. Sometimes we sit and we hear and we listen and we have like a burning sensation in our chest, like God's speaking to us. It's like the Holy Spirit is moving in us. And it helps us tune into the voice of God the Father and in faith to do what he's calling us to, like the disciples set out. And the Holy Spirit calling to me, I see the person of the Holy Spirit at work in my life and through the lives of others. Through many of you here today. I have heard the Holy Spirit encourage and comfort me through some of your words, through some of the conversations that we've had, through some of the scriptures that some of you have, through some of the encouraging words that you've written. Thank you. Particularly over the last 2 or 3 years, Because as many of you know, I'm going to be ordained at the end of June. And it's been quite a journey. And those words of encouragement and comfort have really stayed with me. So there is a card at the back. I've never given out some of these, but you're welcome to pick some up. It'd be great to have you with me and be part of that day on the 29th of June. I'm going to be a curate, which is a trainee vicar, in Water Eaton in Bletchley. It's a little bit different to Buckingham, if you know the area at all. Area of quiet social deprivation, the Lakes Estate. We've been in Buckingham for 19 years. We've now got to move house. I've now got to stop work. And you know, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't want to do that without the power of the Holy Spirit in me and guiding me to that's where He wants me to do. But I didn't wait to feel powerful or strong or confident, because I'm moving ahead in my weakness, knowing I can't do it on my own. Despite my fears and feelings, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide me and us as a family. There will be days, many, I'm sure, where I'm not sure how I'm going to get through, and instances where I will really need the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit in my life and through other people like you in the congregation that I'm going to. And I thank God that He works that way. But you see, that comfort and encouragement has been a theme that has run through my calling and ordination for a long time. The road for me to get to ordination has been a long one. It started in 1995. And I went for a selection conference and a huge process you have to go through. And I got right the way to the end, and they turned around and said, no. Steve, enjoy being married, go and do something completely different. And it was a really difficult time. Because I felt that was what I wanted to do. I felt that's where God was calling me to be. And I was studying at a theological college. And there was a lady there who was training to be a vicar. She was called Beth. And all I remember her coming up to me was giving me a hug. And she said, do you know what? It's going to be okay. I'm so sorry. But if it's God's timing, just wait. Her simple message, that act of compassion, that bit of comfort, that bit of encouragement has stayed with me over the years. And whilst I haven't kept in touch, she has such a lasting impact on me. I'd like us to fast forward 20-odd years later, and I'm training to be a curate. And part of my community placement, I have to go to a local hospital, and it very nearly didn't happen. It took ages to set up. You have to fill out loads of forms. And then the chairman said, there is this one day. You either make this one day or it's not going to happen. So I got all the forms in and kind of rushed and got this day to go and be with a chaplain for the day. I had an amazing day praying with people in the hospital and having a bit of a debrief and a wrap-up at the end of the day. And a phone call comes in from the head of the adult intensive care unit to say that there is a patient dying and would like the chaplain to go and visit. And the lady was an Anglican vicar called Beth. And I remember recounting to the chaplain this story, and I said, it would just be too much of a coincidence. And I remember walking down to the ward, and I've never experienced anything like that before. And I really sensed the presence of God with me in that moment. And I just prayed, come, Holy Spirit, will you help give me the words to say if it is her? And I arrived on the ward, and it was her. I explained to her who I was, what her words and actions meant to be all those years ago. I thanked her and explained that it was about His amazing timing because I am going to be ordained. but also the Holy Spirit's amazing timing and guidance in bringing me to her that day. As I prayed with her, I felt the Holy Spirit give me words to say in prayers. It brought some scriptures to mind, and it really brought a sense of comfort and help and encouragement for her in that moment, just as she did for me 20 years ago. It was a huge honor and privilege, because a few minutes after I left, she died. But that Holy Spirit moment had brought comfort to me, to her, and to her family, to know there was someone there at the end of her life. That is who the Holy Spirit is. I want to know and experience more of his power in those moments in my life. And I pray the same for you. As the band comes up, let's just pray together. We thank you that your Holy Spirit dwells in us when we invite you to come into our life. We pray in those times that we spend in your presence that we can get to know you as God dwelling in us. Do we want to see more of you at work in our lives to bring comfort, encouragement, to strengthen us and those around us? Thank you for dwelling with us. Thank you that you are God with us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us today. We ask you would make us more aware of your Spirit at work in our life. But those times when we feel scared or frightened, that we would feel you strengthening us. I pray for us as a church, for us as individuals, that we will see you more at work in our life through one another. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Amen.